Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But I said this before the show, and I mean it. In 2017, the New England Patriots had three quarterbacks on their roster: Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett. In 2019, the quarterback of those three that's playing the worst is Tom Brady. And I don't know if that continues, but he doesn't have the cavalry coming to help him reinforcement-wise on the offensive line or his skill position, guys.
I wish that it was my job to just say the most outlandish, asinine thing.
Just spit a bunch of crap and get paid for it?
Yeah, I really wish that was the job here. Just spit it out and you know, say it for the clicks, say it for the comments, and say it because I'm a professional troll. If I did that for a living, my life would be filled with far less stress than I have right now in my life, because I could just make it up without consequence. Look, is Jacoby Brissett having a great year so far this year? He absolutely is. Does he deserve a tremendous amount of credit for what he's done so far this year? He absolutely does. But the fact of the matter is, if you were starting a team for one season today, are you serious? You take Jacoby Brissett over Tom Brady? No, you wouldn't.
And then he comes back and says something like this.
Brady is in a position he's not used to being in, which is he cannot rely on his offensive line to hold up for even 3 seconds. And you can see it, and he is having as quick of a trigger as anyone in football, and it's led to some bad mistakes.
So you sit there and look at that, and it's like, okay, first you're going to blame, you know, Brady being worse, and then you blame his offensive line? Like, you got to choose one side, man.
Right, and look, has Tom Brady's offensive line been inconsistent this year? Sure. But you could make the argument, you could have the discussion that there were some offensive line problems in the first half over the weekend. And the second half, they seemed to solve those problems, didn't they? They seemed to be able to buy Tom Brady more time and protect him better. So kudos goes to the Patriots for making good halftime adjustments. Look, the fact is there's been some personnel turnover, some personnel change with the offensive line. But correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. Isn't this part of the dialogue, part of the narrative each and every year going into the first, I don't know, 8-10 weeks of a Patriot season? The change in the offensive line, is somebody going to step up and be a leader on that O-line? Ultimately, Tom winds up finding guys that they can depend on, and that offensive line winds up being one of their larger strengths going into the postseason. I feel like we have this discussion each and every year about the offensive line letting Tom Brady down, but inevitably they wind up pulling things together.
Absolutely. And when you look at, you have an asset like Skarnecchia, and you see that they haven't made another trade, nothing to replace Andrews, and you lose all these pieces, you know, when's that going to happen? But I don't see that happening for a couple weeks, in a sense. They're not going to make a trade till the deadline gets closer to approach where, you know, hey, you know, before we offered a four, now here's a five. Because they have 12 picks to use. They have plenty of draft picks to give up to get some sort of scrub off a practice squad for a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick to make this team a lot better.
And you have to look at this team and say, okay, they're 5-0. So is it a perfect 5-0? No, it's not. But they're still able to win games in the NFL and do it in an imperfect way, which, you know, if you're going to take an optimistic point of view, which I'll take here, I feel like that's a great thing. I don't care who the competition is. I don't want to look at it and say, okay, but the competition sucks. Because you can make that argument each and every year about the AFC East that they play in. But then when you look at Tom Brady's record against the rest of the NFL, it's just as dominant as it is against the AFC East. So it's the Nick Wrights of the world that make that tired argument because it placates the rest of the fans around the NFL. Look, is Tom Brady frustrated right now? I believe that there is some frustration. I absolutely do. But I also believe that that's human nature. You know, again, for a brief moment, Tom Brady believed that he had the potential, the possibility at 42 years old to go out there and throw 40, 45, 48 touchdowns. Because for a moment, he allowed himself to believe that Antonio Brown was going to keep himself right, keep himself psychologically stable, and put this team in a position to give Tom Brady another weapon. And is Tom Brady acting a bit infantile at times about this thing not working out? Sure he is. But I feel like that's more or less frustration boiling over. And I get back to the point that I started the show with. And it's the point that I hammered home to you people all summer long, and nobody wanted to give me credit for it, and nobody wanted to believe it. But the fact is, you lost the best tight end in the history of the league. And everybody minimized that loss and said, okay, well, they'll come up with a way to replace him. They'll tweak their offense. They still have this guy, Gilroy, so don't worry about it. They'll find a way not to miss the great Rob Gronkowski. And I told you guys that no matter the sport, no matter the situation, no matter how great the surrounding pieces are, when you lose in a team sport, when you lose the best player ever to play the position, when you lose that guy, there's going to be a palpable loss that permeates through your team for the next year, if not longer. When the Celtics lost Larry Bird, he was a shell of his former self. And it took the team 20 years to recover. Can we give the Patriots 5 weeks to recover from the loss of Gronk? Like, really, we're 5 weeks in to this new era of Patriot football where you don't have Rob Gronkowski, where he's not, even in the days where he was injured in the past, he was always on the horizon. You always knew that he was coming back. And I feel like Tom Brady, knowing that Gronk would eventually be back someday, you know, off one of these injuries, gave him a sense of security. Because his guy was inevitably and eventually going to come back. And now, you know, those believers that Gronk is going to come back, they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer, as evidenced by Gronk's latest move. I mean, Gronk now signing a deal with Fox, and he's going to be an analyst on Thursday night for the Patriot game. You know, does he sign that deal with Fox to become an NFL analyst this year if he truly is intending to come back at some point this year? I don't know. I can't get into the head of Gronk. I don't know what his thoughts are, but the fact is this. Tom is operating as if Gronk is not coming back. So now you've lost Gronk and you lost Antonio Brown. That's legit talent. I mean, when you consider the weapons that you could have if you're Brady in Gronk and AB, and then you don't have them, the drop-off is tremendous down to what you actually have to deal with here.
It's like taking Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill away from Kansas City.
And not missing a beat. Would Kansas City be 5-0 if you take those two guys away?
Absolutely.
Hell no. I mean, that's the thing here. Tom Brady at 42 years old is still finding a way, despite the fact that the offensive line has been, average, below average, you know, average at best on their best day. He's managed to only get sacked 7 times, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's not nearly as bad as the local media is making it out to be. You know, you would get the feeling if you didn't watch the games and you just listen to people on this station and on the other station that Tom is getting tossed all over the place and that he looks lost out there. None of those things are factually true. The fact is, has there been bumps in the road against teams that are inferior? Yeah, there have been. But there are bumps in the road every single year throughout the first 4, 5, 6 games of the season, 8 games of the season. And we overreact every single year. The difference is this year they're pulling out wins where in years past they'd be 2-2, 3-2 at this stage of the season. So why don't we count our blessings here as Patriots fans and realize, wow, they're still working out the kinks and able to win games in convincing fashion.
And they have that opportunity to work out kinks when you have a schedule this easy, as you could say.
Absolutely.
You're playing the NFC East, your biggest opponent's going to be Dallas.
That's it. But when you look at this, it doesn't make a difference because, again, you know, we understand that the schedule hasn't been difficult, let's say, to start the season. And that's given this team a bit of an unfair advantage. But it's also given this team time to work out those kinks, to figure out, you know, what you're going to do with the offensive line, who's going to step up, and what that line might look like in week 12, week 13, week 14. I have a suspicion that it's going to look a little bit different than it looks right now. I also feel like they're going to be able to bring in, whether it's through free agency or a trade, some additional help offensively for Tom Brady. They're not going to leave him high and dry all season long. Because at the stage that they're at right now, health-wise, if they were to lose Julian Edelman for 2, 3, 4 weeks, they're screwed offensively right now. I mean, he's as good as ever. He is Tom Brady's Binky. He is this team's bailout. And he's 33 years old, coming off multiple injuries. So that is a cautionary tale if you're a Patriots fan. You want to be very, very careful with Edelman, especially with how thin your receiver options are right now. But the fact is, they're winning. They're winning in convincing fashion. And we're going to sit here and overanalyze everything that Tom Brady says. And we're going to take a look at his facial expressions, at his body language. And what are we trying to do? Because I feel like we're dancing around it. So is the point here, and nobody wants to actually make the larger point. We all want to hint around it. We want to insinuate. We want to throw out these hints. But nobody has the nuts to say it. So what are you trying to get at here? If you're Felger, if you're Maz, if you're Ordway, you know, if you're one of these guys that's trying to create some drama in a storyline where it doesn't exist by overanalyzing the body language and the words of Tom Brady, what's your overall point? Are you more convinced now than ever that Tom is going to leave the team in the offseason? Is that what this is? Do you look at what he's saying? Do you look at his body language? And then you look at the way that he handled his contractual situation by not allowing the Patriots the opportunity to franchise him. And are you putting two and two together and coming up with the estimation that eventually this is going to lead to Tom Brady alienating the franchise and leaving the franchise high and dry in the offseason? Because if that's your belief, then damn it, say it. Don't dance around it. Say it. But if that isn't your belief, if that's not what you're trying to lead the public into believing, then why are we sitting here and overanalyzing every last word that he says and trying to dissect it? What did he really mean by what he said about Ben Watson? What did he really mean by the liking of Antonio Brown's tweets? Do we realize that my 12-year-old daughter has the same conversation with her tween friends about why did the cute boy in school like her tweet but not like my tweet? What does it really mean? This is the group Snapchat conversation my kid was having last week. And we're sitting here, 60-year-old men on the radio, having an identical conversation about tweets and likes for Tom Brady. Instagram posts. Oh, he liked AB's quote here. What does it really mean? You know what I think it means? It means nothing. The guy has somebody else manage his damn social media. I don't think he even does it. But regardless if he does it or not, we sound like infantile children trying to play psychologist on the radio. And it makes us look petty. It makes us look stupid. And Tom Brady is probably laughing at each and every one of you. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's late night. When we come back, we'll get more to your phone calls. We got some more things to discuss here. Tom Brady, the Patriots. Also want to work in a few more Celtics thoughts before we get out of here at 1 o'clock. Also, we'll start to preview the exciting new Saturday show coming your way this Saturday at 2, and every Saturday following BC football thereafter. It is yours truly alongside morning show superstar, also Patriot superfan Fitzy. We'll talk about that and more along with your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll continue to make our way together up until 1 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And continuing our discussion here, our debate about Tom Brady, and I think the embarrassing overanalysis of each and every word that Tom's had to say in each one of his press conferences, every time he gets in front of a microphone lately, it is simply, it's embarrassing. And it's a race between all my colleagues here and at the other station, to try and overanalyze this thing the most and who can make the biggest ass out of themselves without actually making their larger point. And that's, they believe that Tom is visibly frustrated, and it's proving their larger point that eventually Tom Brady is going to abandon the New England Patriots. He's going to go sign elsewhere in the offseason. They feel like if you combine the way that he negotiated his contract in the offseason by not allowing the Patriots the ability to franchise him coming up in the offseason. So, you know, generally, worst-case scenario, when you've got a Hall of Fame player on your roster, if you can't come to some sort of a contractual agreement between the two. In the NFL, they allow you the ability to pay him the average of the top five players at his position and franchise the guy. And generally, you wind up wildly overpaying for a year or two, and it's good for both parties because the player that you franchise, well, they're making more money per year than they would normally make, and it allows the team the ability to have the final control, final say, over whether that guy gets to leave the team or not. Well, Brady negotiated that out of his deal, right? So the Patriots don't have that sort of safety net that they would have had in years past. I don't think it matters at all. I don't think it matters at all. Ultimately, at 42 years old, Tom wants the final say. He wants control. But I don't think he's interested in going to, you know, Tennessee or going to the Texans. I mean, these are the teams that you hear about that Tom could potentially be interested in joining. Certainly not going to the 49ers the way that Garoppolo's playing. So, you know, the number of teams that could potentially vie for Tom Brady's services are few and far between. But more importantly, at 42 years old, do you really believe that Tom is interested in packing up and leaving?
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Essentially abandoning a team at the tail end of his career, I don't think that's in him. I really don't. I think that he likes the idea that he could potentially do that because for the first time in forever, he's got leverage over the Patriots, and that's important to him. But ultimately, you got to see through all of this. He's not going to leave the Patriots because he's frustrated that a guy that wasn't even on the Patriots' radar in the offseason and Antonio Brown is no longer here. Again, it all gets back to the Gronk situation. I completely 1,000% believe with all my heart that Tom is frustrated over the way that the whole Gronk thing went down. From Gronk not making his final decision till late in the offseason, therefore screwing the Patriots a little bit. And I think Tom is realizing now that as we go into week six here, that Gronk is not coming back this year. And maybe in Tom's heart of hearts, he believed that eventually he would have the ability to lure Gronk back out of retirement. And now that Gronk has signed a deal with Fox, I feel like that hope is alienating Tom more and more each day. And of course that's frustrating. He's lost the best player ever to play the position of tight end. He's lost one of his binkies and a guy that Tom leaned on. And even in years like last year, where Gronk wasn't the offensive dominant force that he was in years past, when the Patriots needed it the most in the AFC Championship game and again in the Super Bowl, when they had to have it, when Tom had to have it, who did he go to and who came through with the big plays? So not to have that crutch there, of course, Tom is going to be visibly frustrated when talking to the media. When you're talking about, losing Ben Watson, you know, not keeping him on the roster, or a guy like Matt LaCosse or Izzo, the monumental drop-off from Rob Gronkowski to Izzo, you can't even begin to describe that drop-off. Of course that's frustrating for Tom Brady. But does that mean he's leaving? No, he's 5-0. He's at the top of his game right now. You know, regardless of the fact that he's lost the best tight end ever to play the game, regardless of the fact that his offensive line is in a constant state of flux and construction right now, it is far from the final product. But if one thing over the last 7, 8, 10 years, if I've learned one thing, it's that these problems that this team has at the start of the season are almost by design because they're tweaking things, they're trying things, and eventually they land on a formula that works. And if that formula is Tom Brady slinging the ball around 40, 45 times a game, maybe that's so. If that formula is relying on the running game because Tom doesn't have the tools and the weapons necessary to sling the ball around the way that he wants, well, then that's what they'll do. But right now, just as it has been in years past, this is the Patriots' extended exhibition season. They continue to tweak and to sort of put feelers out there and see exactly what this team needs, and they will adjust accordingly. The only difference between this year and years past is that Gronk isn't here, and that's going to be frustrating to a guy like Tom Brady, and that this team has managed to be 5-0 through all the tweaks, through all the potential changes, through the ups and downs of the roster, and through the uncertainty of the offensive line, when in years past they've been 2-2, 3-2 at this stage in the season. So it is Sports Radio WEI. Let's continue with your phone calls. Let's go to my man Wayne. Wayne's in Southie. Wayne, you're next up here on WEI.
Gilroy, where you been, my buddy?
Listen, man, I can't compete with the talent of a guy like Mark James. You know, it is what it is.
Oh, come on. Tell him, hey, and tell him to stop talking about Sony. Like, Sony got him, what do you call it, won the MVP last year. So tell him to shut up.
Well, here's the thing.
He gets on my nerves sometimes. But no, I want to talk Patriots with you. Hold on, this is my team. You know who's the real super fan here.
Oh, it's you, Wayne.
I'm sending you the video. When you watched that, when I was on the news, when they and I built the shrine for them, wait till you see that. You're going to love that.
Number
one. It inspires people.
You're the number one
fan, Wayne. Don't forget. Hey, also, I grew up with the Patriots since the 70s and 80s, so I used to watch Steve Grogan with two broken legs running into my chest. Oh, you remember those days?
Of course I do, man. Of course I do. Hey, look.
I love those. Oh, I love those. Those are great memories. You know what I mean? And then Brady came. God, I said a prayer. God said, there is Brady. Here we go.
But you know, Brady this year, he's got 10 touchdowns, two interceptions. The team is 5-0. Hold on.
Nowhere. You know that. Do you know that he gave a clue what he was going to do? Did you hear it, Gilbert?
What'd he say?
He was talking to one of the reporters, and the guy kept asking him, and he goes, when I'm the owner, I'll know all the dances.
Maybe one day I will be an owner, and I can make all the decisions that I want.
Yep. Cortez got it. Exactly what he said.
Look, man, there's been talk about that potential for a long time. The fact is, Wayne, if you went down to Robert Kraft and wanted a valuable piece of land over there at Patriot Place, it would cost you millions of dollars. Tom Brady didn't pay a penny for that land because, of course, there's some sort of long-term agreement between the two parties.
He is the Patriots, Gilroy. Come on, let's get real. We used to be called the Patsies.
Of course.
We went from the Patsies to the best. And when it happened, my father, I love my buddy, he was wearing a Dallas Cowboys jacket because Dallas won 3 Super Bowls. So they're all riding the train or jumping on the bus. But there's me winning with my Patriots jacket on at what were we, 1-15, getting laughed at by everybody.
But isn't it human nature, Wayne? I mean, Tom, does he sound a little frustrated in some of these press conferences? Sure. But I mean,
he is. Dude, they took away his – he went at home at night, and Giselle was there. He was like, get away from me. And he's dreaming, Antonio, go down. Yeah, there you go. Another touchdown. 50. He was good. Did you hear what he said to another little hint? He said, I loved when, broke my record and threw 55 touchdowns. That was incredible. Peyton Manning?
Yep. Yeah, he thought at 42 years old he was going to have a chance to regain that record. That's what he was dreaming of. And, you know, not for nothing.
He just wants Gilroy. We want number 7. That's it. Think about it. When we get number 7, we are the only ones with number. There is no other buddy, anybody. We are at the top now.
But he wanted number 7, but he wanted number 7 with gaudy offensive numbers like he had in 2007. He did. You know why? Because.
You get me. I'm going to stop crying.
Wayne, do you know what that does? To his brand and to the value of his brand? If at 42 years old, he's tossing 40 touchdowns plus. Nobody, but the value of his brand goes through the roof because now not only is he still an effective quarterback, he is at the top of his game. And that's what he was dreaming of.
42, he's aging backwards. He's Benjamin Button like me. I'm 47 and I look like I'm 30. Every girl thinks I'm 30.
So you're lining them up.
Joe, I got the pictures of the new movie for you, but you can't show anybody the movie that I'm doing with Ryan Reynolds called Free Guy. It'll be out next year.
You got to send him over to Joe.
I play creepy guy.
Send him, not you, man. Send him to Joe.
Yeah, he's stuck in a video game, and there's 5 guys. Remember, I told you Croft's girlfriend was there. I got in trouble because I kept stammering. I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
It was like, boom.
Creepy guy like that. I love it.
I know why Croft's so happy. You don't want to come back.
Of course he does. I mean, he's got a good thing going right now. But, hey, Wayne, before you go, when you heard that Gronk signed that deal with Fox and he's going to be an analyst, were you surprised that probably does him in for the potential?
Gronk's an entertainer. Of course put Gronk on there. People will watch it just because he's a great entertainer. I've been saying that he's good.
But you thought he was coming back.
I think maybe this year he'll let it go. You know, but remember, Brady won 2 Super Bowls without Gronk. Do you remember that?
Of course he did. Of course he did. But Gronk was for one of them. Gronk was there the majority of the season. He missed the end of the playoffs. But Gronk
The Falcons, right? The Falcons Super Bowl.
Yeah, like I said before, though, the difference between then and now is that Gronk has always been. If he was hurt, he was always on the horizon. So Tom knew that eventually he was getting his guy back. And now,
real quick, Kilroy, before I leave, think about this. This is what's coming: Brady, the teacher, against guess who? Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the best of the 49ers. What a Super Bowl that will be. And Brady will teach this little punk. drunk. You don't play with me and embarrass them in front of the whole world.
Oh, it's gonna be.
You should have seen what they did at Cleveland. I haven't watched Monday Night Football in a long time. You know me; I always go to the gym. But for some reason, I'm like, I want to watch it. I want to watch him because everybody's saying he's doing good. Dude, they destroyed. They literally took. I don't think he's a good quarterback. The kid for Cleveland. What's his name?
Baker Mayfield.
They took him out of the game in the third quarter.
I mean, Cleveland had all that offseason hype, Wayne. I love you, man. Can you believe that there's no cocaine at all? That's just
pure energy.
That's just who Wayne is. There is no cocaine. There's no eight ball in his pocket. That is just who he is. And apparently, he's 47. It looks like he's 30 years old, and he's a movie star. So I feel privileged we got to talk to Wayne here tonight. I haven't talked to Wayne in a while, but that energy is infectious. I could do 12 more hours of radio now after talking to Wayne. But he's right. Baker Mayfield and the Browns, all that offseason hype. I mean, they were the most hyped team of the offseason, and they're, what are they, 2-3 to start the year this year? That's what you could be facing here in New England. Instead, your team is 5-0. They're living up to and exceeding expectations, as is your 42-year-old quarterback, and yet we still can't make the media and the fan base happy. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Some room and time for you guys still here. When we come back, we'll continue with our Patriots conversation. I want to work in a couple more Celtics thoughts and start to preview my upcoming Saturday show alongside the one and only Fitzy. All that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Final segment here, Sports Radio, WEI. I got to tell you, it is... There was that stretch, I'm going to say, I don't know, March, April, right after my dad passed away, where I was in here 3, 4, 5 nights a week for months. And then the Red Sox started in earnest and it was over. But I got to say that I miss being in here regularly, but I'm really excited about what's to come. And as far as me being in here regularly goes, it's been a combination of things. There was some changes at the station. Mutt had to move back to nights because of the changes in the morning show, and that took away opportunities from guys like Mark James he was climbing the ladder here. You know, Mutt was doing mornings regularly. He was the host of the morning show, so that left that 6-10 spot wide open where Mark would do that. And then, you know, Brian Barrett and I got to split late nights, and now Mark James, a talented kid, he's thrown into the equation here, and it doesn't leave as many opportunities for Brian and myself to come in here and do late night. But that's fine, because all I've ever asked since day one of getting to this station, I'll take all the late night shifts they can throw at me, because I'm a radio junkie and I'll do whatever this station wants me to do. I'm so grateful to be here. But all I've ever asked for is an opportunity to have my own sort of show that's regularly scheduled once or twice a week that doesn't interfere with my full-time job and doesn't interfere with my family. And that's what the station is giving me the opportunity to do alongside Fitzy. And I'm so excited. We start this weekend, Saturday at 2 o'clock. And then every, drum roll, there it is, every Saturday thereafter, at least for the foreseeable future, will come on following BC football. And it's going to be a sort of a change to the Saturday morning routine around here. And yeah, I'm really excited because I feel like it worked out well for everybody. If you're like me and you grew up listening to WEI, you know, Mustard and Johnson have been a fixture on this station forever. And I got the opportunity over the summer to do a show with Craig Mustard, and I really enjoyed myself. There's a reason why he's been successful, reason why LJ's been successful doing this for as long as they have. And the station's clearly trying to reach a younger demographic and trying to mix things up and freshen things up a bit, and I applaud them for that. And they found a way to make it work for everybody. So you'll have, you know, James and Hart, Mark James and Andy Hart do their thing on Saturday mornings. But meanwhile, you got Craig Mustard, Larry Johnson. They're going to slide over to the AM side and work on 8:50 AM. And then Fitzy and myself at 2 o'clock. And I'm really excited about the possibilities that we're going to have for that show. Fitzy and myself, we don't know each other all that well. We've met a handful of times, but never said more than a couple of words. But what I know about Fitzy is that he got famous by being a Patriot superfan. And everything that he says and does is genuine, and it all stems from that fandom. And my rise to doing radio is very similar. I haven't really been a stranger about this. I've been very forthcoming since day one here on EEI about my path. And my path to doing radio 20 years ago was born out of a love for the NBA and a love for the Celtics. And, you know, I feel like because Fitzy and I are going to have that common denominator where we got into this for the right reasons, we got into this because of our fandom, because of our love for a particular sport, a particular team, and that ultimately is what drove us to do what we needed to do to get these opportunities. I feel like that's going to come through on the air, and I'm really excited about the potential and the possibility to talk football, talk some basketball, and do it regularly with you guys coming up starting this Saturday alongside Fitzy, and that's going to be it's going to be a breath of fresh air. At least I hope that's what it's going to be here, as we're going to invite your phone calls. We're going to do some fun things. We've got some bits planned, and it's just going to be a fun few hours of radio that we can look forward to, and hopefully you guys can look forward to each and every Saturday afternoon. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful to Joey and to Chris and everybody here on the management side of the station for giving us that opportunity and for giving us the chance to entertain you guys each and every Saturday afternoon. And I love the graceful way that they were able to do this and try to reach that younger demographic, freshen up the weekend programming, and do it in a way where Mustard and Johnson still have the opportunity to appeal to their audience that they've grown over the last 25 years. So hats off goes to the management here at the station. In a time where people have openly questioned some of the management's decisions here, I feel like they made a good one. They made a very good decision by putting me and Fitzy together starting this Saturday. So I'm excited about that, Joe. I don't know about you. You're a young guy. I don't know if you'll be locked in and tuned into the radio Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Pumped. But yeah, right in between my college football segments.
There you go. I hope that you get all your young friends to tune in to Fitzy and Gilroy. I'm sure we'll talk a lot of football, talk a lot of Patriots, talk a lot of Celtics, and do it in a genuine way where nobody has to worry about BS takes for the sake of making a BS take. Because I don't like radio like that. I don't think Fitzy likes radio like that. And you're not going to get any of that from either one of us. And I feel like that is going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome because it's something that you don't get on this station or the other station. Until now, you get it starting this Saturday at 2 o'clock. So I'll talk to you guys then. I'm flying to Norfolk for the rest of the week to go sell some lollipops, and I'll be back here just in time for Saturday at 2 o'clock alongside Fitzy. So until then, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.